Then they came to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet, come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, there was a little old Catholic lady living next door to an atheist. And every morning the little old lady went out on her front porch and prayed in a loud voice, "Praise the Lord." And every day the atheist would yell back, "There is no God." After a while, though, the lady runs into financial difficulties and has trouble buying food. But every morning she still goes out on the front porch and asks God for help with her groceries, and she shouts, "Praise the Lord." One morning she goes out on her front porch, she discovers there's groceries there that she's been praying for, and she shouts out again, "Praise the Lord." Just then the atheist leaps out from behind the bushes and says, "Ha, I got you. There is no God. I bought those groceries for you." The lady looks at him and smiles. Then she prays all the louder, "Praise the Lord. Not only did you provide me the groceries, but you made the devil pay for them." In today's gospel, we actually have another contest between the Lord and the devil. It's called an exorcism that took place in today's gospel, given to us through St. Mark, chapter 1. And the Lord, first he goes to the synagogue, and there he preaches and teaches with authority. See, when the Lord spoke, it was different than when any other rabbi spoke. The other rabbis would just quote scripture, they would quote Moses, but Jesus did not teach in that way. The Lord would say something like, "Moses said to you such and such, but I say to you." See, Jesus spoke with authority. And he did this to show that he truly was Lord and God. It revealed his divinity, the fact that he spoke with such authority. But in today's gospel, he has to show his authority over, even over the unclean spirits. Because in today's gospel, a man comes forward in the synagogue who is possessed. Possessed perhaps by the devil or certainly by a number of demons. Because these demons speak in plural. They say, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." So now we have this contest, this spiritual battle between Christ, the Son of God, and these demons, these fallen angels. What's interesting about this is that the angels, these demons, these fallen angels, they knew who Jesus was. Even though the disciples did not always understand who Jesus was, or the crowd certainly didn't understand, the demons knew that Jesus was the Son of God. They say, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." See, the angels are higher than us ontologically. They're pure spirits. They have a greater intellect. Even the fallen angels, the demons, have a much greater intellect than we do. They knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And that's something that is important for us to remember, that the angels are far more intelligent than we are. And the demons, the devil, they know what the true faith is. They know that Jesus is the Son of God, for example. I remember working in a prison about 20 years ago. And in this prison, there were a number of Satanists, Some of them, thanks be to God, had left Satanism. Some of them got baptized and were brought into the Catholic faith. And they would confide in us what they used to do as Satanists. And they said the only religion they ever persecuted was the Catholic religion because they knew it was the true religion. They wouldn't try to steal the host from other churches where it was just symbolic. They would only try to steal a Catholic host once it was consecrated because they knew, as Satanists, it truly was the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Just like in today's gospel, it was the demon that knew that Jesus was the Son of God, even though the crowd didn't realize it. The apostles were slow to understand it. But the fallen angel, they knew it. And just like that Satanist, and it confided in us that that's what they wanted to persecute, was the Catholic Church, because they knew it was the one founded by Christ, and to try to steal the sacred host from a Catholic Church, because it truly was the body and blood of Christ. So in today's gospel, the demons say, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." And now Jesus does an exorcism. He says, "Quiet, come out of him." And immediately, these evil spirits come out of the man, and he's cured. He's now at peace. And people began saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." You see, because Christ is God, he had that authority not only to teach on issues of faith and morals, but also to expel demons. Now, Jesus did not keep that power to himself. Before he ascended back to heaven, he gave that power to the Catholic Church. Just as Jesus taught, governed, and sanctified, so he gave the Church this threefold power to teach, to govern, and to sanctify. To teach the truth with authority on issues of faith and morals. And when we listen to the Church, we listen to Christ. Jesus says, "He who hears you, hears me." But not only does the Church have the authority to teach on issues of faith and morals, but also it has the authority to expel demons. That's why over the last 2,000 years, it's the Catholic Church that has understood this rite of exorcism, that the Church can call in a designated priest by the bishop to do exorcisms. Now, first, of course, the Church makes sure it's not a psychological problem or an emotional problem. That's why there's always a psychological evaluation. If somebody is, let's say, wants the examination of the Church for a possible exorcism, first they go through the psychological channels to make sure it's not emotional or psychological. But then if it's shown that it's a spiritual issue, then they call in the exorcist priest. Now, almost every diocese, have an exorcist priest. One priest specifically chosen by the bishop to do exorcisms. Now, nobody knows who that priest is. I don't even know who it is in our diocese. But in the case of a problem, you would call the bishop, he would designate that priest, and that priest would go to take care of the exorcism. Now, exorcisms are very rare. Possessions are very rare, but they do happen. They happen, certainly, I'm sure, a couple times each year in different dioceses. But even though exorcisms are not that common, or possessions, there's other ways that the devil can try to influence souls through infestation or obsession or infiltration, certain diabolical attacks or temptations. Now, not every temptation comes from the devil. As you know, the three sources of temptation are the world, the flesh, and the devil. But what can we do, though, to protect ourselves from the evil enticements and temptations of the devil and the wiles of the devil, as we say? Well, the Church gives us a number of recommendations, protection and help. The Church gives us, and the saints and the fathers of the Church say, that the best thing you can do to protect yourself from evil influences, is to be in the state of grace. If you're in a state of grace, that means you have the Blessed Trinity dwelling in your soul, the Holy Spirit dwelling in your soul. That's the best way to stay protected from the evil one. If people are living in mortal sin, they're opening themselves up to possible influences of the devil. That's why it's important to get out of mortal sin, to go to confession right away, and to live a holy life. It's your best protection against the evil one. Also, the Church recommends devotion to our holy guardian angel. Our guardian angel is with us all the time to protect us. Because we're dealing with a supernatural enemy, we need supernatural help, namely the holy angels, to protect us from the fallen angels. Especially Saint Michael, the archangel. And I would highly recommend that each of us says the prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel every day, at least once a day, to pray that exorcism prayer, the prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel. I would also recommend that we realize that every time we pray the Our Father, we're actually praying an exorcism prayer. That the Our Father is so powerful. It was taught to us by Christ Himself. Whenever we say that prayer, we say, deliver us from evil. The other translation is, deliver us from the evil one. So that prayer is an exorcism prayer. It's one of the most powerful prayers to say in times of difficulty, temptation, or diabolical attacks. So pray that prayer, the Our Father, and realize that is an exorcism prayer. Also, the Church recommends for us the use of sacred scripture. Sacred scripture is our sword and our shield against evil. When Christ was tempted in the desert, He did not dialogue with the devil as Eve did in the Old Testament. You never want to rationalize and dialogue with the devil. You just want to quote scripture and throw scripture passages back out. That's where our Protestant friends sometimes have an advantage over us, because some of them have memorized 10 or 20 passages of scripture. We need to do that as well and use scripture to fight off any evil temptations or diabolical influences. And then lastly, the Church also recommends the sacramentals, the use of the sacramentals. Our greatest weapons, of course, are the sacraments. Getting baptized, going to confession, getting confirmed, going to Holy Communion faithfully, being anointed with a serious illness. So those are the most powerful blessings that we have from the Church. But there's also the sacramentals, the use of holy water, blessing yourself with holy water when you come into the church and leave the church. On the way out, you'll see a big holy water container. And what I'd recommend is get a little plastic bottle, and when you come to Mass, fill that up and then take that home. And you can use that in your own house. See, the sacramental principle is that when that water is blessed, there's a prayer there. And every place that water is sprinkled, that prayer remains in that spot. That's why the Church even recommends blessed salt and other sacramentals. The holy water will evaporate, but blessed salt will stay there for a longer period of time. But the use of the crucifix, which is a very powerful sacramental, the miraculous medal, the brown scapular, these things are very helpful for protection against evil. The St. Benedict medal is an exorcism medal. You ever see the St. Benedict medal? It has the Latin words, which is an exorcism prayer. Again, very strong, very powerful. And then, of course, the rosary and these other sacramentals are a great blessing to us. So we as Catholics, we're so blessed, more so than any other religion, because we have all seven sacraments. We have dozens of sacramentals that we can use to grow in holiness and to protect ourselves from the onslaughts of the evil one. God bless you.